paper made. What's going on? What's going on, Jinx? You owe me a Coke.
Oh, I guess so. That's been a minute. That was an old thing that people used to do.
Yeah, I just
maybe saw, that ages you though.
I guess I just saw an episode of The Office and
there was they said that in there.
Yeah, it was a crazy.
But the people in The Office are older.
Yeah, but it's a great show.
So it ages you.
What are you trying to say? Girl, let's just start the show because you already get me tight. You're getting me tight. So what's going on?
Well, you know, I was thinking about the fact that so many of the STEM careers and subjects that we talk about, we do say that we want to encourage people of color and Black people to enter these decision-making rooms. Mm-hmm. But I want to reiterate, I feel that it's not like we've never been in these rooms. Mm-hmm. You know, we do amazing things and there is a rich history and culture of Black people achieving despite their surroundings, environment, and the racism and institutionalized discrimination that we have in the country.
Absolutely.
They've still been doing these things, these STEM fields that we do discuss. And I feel like I want to talk about and hypothesize the role of engineering specifically, Black people's role in history in engineering and their developments and achievements. Just because it's Black History Month, and apparently it's also the time that we celebrate our engineers and our Black engineers. Mm-hmm. So I think it would be really cool for us to have that as our topic for today, you know, because these, I want us to be able to claim our space in the way that not only are we entering these rooms within our own right,
right,
but we're following in the steps of people before us that have also taken the initiative to claim their space.
Okay, yeah, sounds cool. Let's do it.
Black Hypothesis.
Hey everybody, this is B. Langston Jules
and Paper Maid,
and we are
Black Hypothesis,
STEM for the culture. So you know, you out here calling me an old man and everything like that.
You were saying it.
It really got me thinking about the old days, you know, because it's been, you know, a few years since I've been to college, you know, or I was in college, I would say. And I was just reminiscing about like what it's like being a Black engineering student. You know what I mean? And I feel like you almost forget. So I really had to like really sit back and think about it and really like gather the emotions, because sometimes you don't may not remember certain details, but you'll remember how you felt at a certain time or in a certain situation. And I would say the one thing that I can probably remember that would surmise the whole 4-year experience was just deep fear and confusion for sure. And it was like, it was always cyclical, you know what I mean? Like the first day of class, I'm coming up to this class like, all right, cool. I'm in electromagnetics. All right, I'm going to sit here. I'm going to kill this class, you know? I'm
going to like,
right, exactly. That was actually one of my better classes, but yeah. So I was like, all right. But it always went the same way. I'll sit in the class, open a fresh notebook. The professor starts talking and they always do like high level stuff that was, you know, they talk about the application of what we're about to learn in the class. Like, all right, well, I get that. Okay, I get that. Yeah, I know that too. All right, cool. It's going to be a pretty good class. And then all of a sudden, the next class, I'm in a different world with someone who's speaking a different language. And I don't know where to go from here. It's like, all right. So, but I'm thinking, all right, you know what? All right. I don't get what he's saying now, but you know what? All right. So I'm just going to.
I'm going to catch up.
I'm just have to follow up on that later. But he just keeps saying more and more and more things and more and more and more theory. Third lecture, I'm like, damn, this is a bad choice, you know? And then, so it's, I guess that's the learning curve for me, you know, after that. You know, and I'm sure for you and everyone else, for me, I had to go to the library and grind.
Yeah.
Every single thing I didn't understand, I had to just follow up on by myself in the library. You know what I mean? I had my favorite spot and everything. And it was just rinse and repeat. You know, eventually, when the finals came, with some hard work, some dedication, I was able to understand the curriculum enough to at least get a decent grade in the class.
Yeah.
And for anyone that's in school right now, they're trying to do engineering. Like I did electrical, I don't know, whichever type of STEM degree that you're looking to do. Listen, you just got to get through it, and you will get through it.
Mm-hmm. You'll okay. get through it. I'm so glad that you said that, because some people will think, you know, those that are majoring in these fields, oh, they're just uniquely gifted in this area or something. And that's not the case for most people. Like, we are struggling just like everybody else. You know, I remember doing, especially for the those practical sciences that you're, and you have like applications of theory, mathematics and everything like that. I would do that. I would go in, but for me, it would be like the first few lectures, like you said, are fine. I feel like I'm great. The first few grades are awesome. By the time it comes to the first quarter, the midterm, I'm just like,
shit goes left.
I guess that was my season. My season's over.
All right. A season of understanding.
Exactly.
Now for the season of confusion.
So I want to dig into it. Like I want to talk about some of these people that have achieved in engineering and, you know, may not get the notice or the recognition they deserve, but we really want to pay attention and give them that acknowledgement now, since mm-hmm. it is their month.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the first person I want to talk about is Mary Jackson.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Roger, the SATCOM ops folks would like to pass along their congratulations for a job well done.
Job well done indeed. Mary Jackson was an American mathematician and aerospace engineer at the National Advisory Committee for Aeronautics. Mm. We now know that organization as the Aeronautics and Space Administration. NASA.
Hey, okay.
She worked for NASA. Okay. And she worked in the Langley Research Center in Hampton, Virginia. She also worked in the computing division. Mm-hmm. And after 34 years at NASA, she reached the epitome of her role there without being promoted to a supervisory role.
Mm-hmm.
And she took a demotion, surprisingly, to become the manager of both the Federal Women's Program in NASA,
mm-hmm.
Office of Equal Opportunity Programs, and of the Affirmative Action Program,
mm-hmm.
which I think is really amazing, just because she went through so many years of experience, became what everybody would strive to become. Mm-hmm. And then instead of moving upward, she wanted to make sure she had the opportunity to pay it forward and allow others like her to have the same experience and reach the same heights mm-hmm. that she reached. So I would say that is an amazing woman.
Right,
okay. Dope. She worked to influence the hiring and promotion of women in NASA's science, engineering, and mathematical careers. Her story is featured in the 2016 novel, nonfiction
mm-hmm.
Book, actually, Hidden Figures. And they made a movie of that book. So she's okay. one of those three protagonists that you see in
right.
the movie.
Okay. Yeah, mm-hmm. it was a good movie. All right, cool, cool. All right, shout
thank
out,
you.
Shout out, shout
thank
out,
you,
shout
Mary
out.
Jackson.
Hey, hey, all right, so let me tell you about this guy, Walt Brathway. Okay, he's Jamaican born.
Woo,
big
woo.
Up, big up, massive.
Yes.
American engineer, and he's a former exec at Boeing. Okay, so this guy, I don't want to say he got it out the mud, but like, I'm going to say he got it out the mud.
Mm.
You know, he started at a lower level position. He was just an associate tool engineer. But over the years, he showed his worth by taking on different projects and assisting other people. And they started to see his talents. And with that, they started giving him more responsibility. He's working on projects such as using or implementing CAD technology
mm.
or other
oh,
different
yeah,
type
no
of computer
CAD.
Things into commercial airplanes, because mm. it wasn't like that before. Which is, I mean, if you even think about it, like when planes that's in the air, you have people's lives and stakes. People don't want to take too many risks. You know
yeah.
what I mean? Like if something works, let's just do it that way. You don't want to like design something and then, you know, try to implement it and then something might go wrong. So that's like a big thing to have on his shoulders, right?
Yeah.
And he did very well at it. He eventually rose to being the president of Boeing Africa in 2000. You know what I mean? And he started in 1966. Mm. So he dedicated a bunch of his time and his life to succeeding and definitely contributing to the field of STEM, or in this case, to aeronautics. So big up to Mr. Walter Brathwaite. I see you.
Mm-hmm. So I have another person. Mm-hmm. We have to acknowledge Lewis Howard Latimer. So for his career, he worked in the Edison Electric Light Company,
mm-hmm.
Who had the patent for the incandescent light bulbs.
Nice.
So one of the main parts of his career was actually patents. He worked as a draftsman mm-hmm. for patents and became well known for it. So he was hired for a lot of those patent projects. And we all know that that's how these big companies be making their money.
Right.
Right. Because you own this particular design, chemical, whatever it is that you've produced or manufactured or created. And so nobody else can use it without giving you your cut, you know, right. Or they can't use it for a particular amount of time. And then they still got to give you a cut. So that's what he did. That was one of the main things that he's known for. But also he worked on patents and worked on projects for the Bell's telephone. He developed a forerunner for the air conditioner called the apparatus for cooling and disinfecting.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. And apparently his home still stands, his old home still stands, and it's in Flushing, Queens. It's near the Latimer Projects.
Oh, dope. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I guess those sounds like days that were really long ago. So to be able to like be involved in so many projects as a black man,
yeah,
I can only imagine. Like,
born in 1848, man. Like so way, way back.
Right, and that was before the Civil War.
Yeah,
you know? So,
he passed in 1928.
All right, big up to Mr. Latimer. Mm-hmm. I got another one for you. Ursula Burns. All right. The first among all black women to become a CEO of a Fortune 500 company.
Wow.
Okay, she has an illustrious, very impressive. She was named to be a leader of the STEM program at the White House from 2009 to 2016. And she was also the head of the President's Export Council from 2015 to 2016 as well. So to become the first black female CEO of a Fortune 500 company, big up, Miss Ursula
did it.
Burns.
You
That's
did
what's
it.
Up.
Mm-hmm.
Good job, girl. Breaking that glass ceiling, shattering it.
My next person is Mark Dean. He was a computer scientist. It's actually been a minute since I've heard that sound.
I love and hate that sound.
Oh my gosh.
And it's for the nostalgia.
I could be aging myself now, but I can barely remember having to wait for my computer to start up anymore.
Oh, I remember.
That was a thing.
If I was online and someone called the crib, that's it. Disconnected. Oh man, I hated that.
Oh my gosh. But he was an inventor and computer engineer. He was a part of the team that developed the ISA bus. And honestly, the only bus I know is the public transportation mode that, you know, we all jump in and,
right.
you know, get to where we want to go. But apparently there's more to it than that.
There is. I would say like, so what I understand from a bus is, and so for ISA bus, I'm assuming like it's a piece of computer architecture that helps certain devices talk to other certain devices inside of a computer. So instead of wiring directly from one device to another, all the wiring goes to one central point. And then they all just talk to each other through that point. It's kind of like back in the day when you want to call someone as an operator, like who do I connect you to? And then, I want to call Papermaid. I want to call D-Lanks and Drew. Okay, like, please hold. Exactly. It's kind of like that.
Yeah, I remember seeing those in the movies. Okay, now right. I have a like little visual in my mind.
Right.
And he also led a design team for making the 1 gigahertz computer processor chip.
Damn.
And that was also at IBM. Yeah, so he was a really smart dude. And he was born in 1957. And he went to he went to the University of Tennessee, actually.
Oh, okay.
So I thought that was pretty interesting, too. And he ended up at Stanford University, but he first went to University of Tennessee, then he went to Florida Atlantic University, and then he ended up at Stanford. And I'm telling you, he put in the work, and he got where he wanted to go.
He got through it. Okay. So, like, I think it's great that we're giving a lot of people their recognition. This guy probably didn't get as much recognition as he should have got just based on his description of what I can read online. Like, there isn't much on him, but I know he did so much more, but just from the context of all the highlights, you know what I mean? So it doesn't like highlight all the hard work he had to put in. But his name is William Hunter Damond. All right. Shout out to Mr. Damond.
I like my little caricatures.
I tried. So anyway, yeah. So he invented the railroad switching mechanism, and this enabled trains to change direction. Mm. And this is like a safety feature that I definitely did. I explained before something that the MTA was doing, like relay signals, so people can know if a train is on which track or how far they're going, if they're too close apart. He developed an earlier version of something like that.
Okay.
And when I was reading about him, he even went over to Europe for a few years to develop that technology over there. And he really advocated for himself and his idea and trying to get other people to buy into it as well. He went to Philly, New York. He tried to get a lot of the big companies to accept this technology, because, you know, I'm sure people weren't advocating for him, right? So people weren't saying, hey, this guy, Mr. Damond, you know, he has this really really good piece of technology that we could probably implement. No, he had to do it all himself, do all the footwork. He's also the first African-American graduate from the University of Pittsburgh with a degree in civil engineering.
Cool. All right. I know Pittsburgh very well.
Right. And so we can definitely say that his invention revolutionized the transportation industry in more than one. I salute you, Mr. Damond.
So my next person is Jerry Lawson.
Okay.
So I loved gaming as a kid. And I would say that this guy impresses me so much just because he earned the title of the father of modern gaming.
That's deep.
And I had no clue that we had such a prominent figure in gaming, especially in the beginning stages.
Out here.
Mm-hmm. We are everywhere. Exactly. This is not new what we do now. Mm. Okay. He was born in 1940 and unfortunately passed in 2011, but he was an American electric engineer, and he's known for his work designing the Fairchild Channel F video game console. So this is a part of like pioneering the commercial video game cartridge. Mm-hmm. You remember the, you know, like... Right. So this is a part of
that worked
all,
too.
Yeah, it, like, come on worked. Now. Now we have the little air things that you could like blow into it. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, in the can.
Right.
But really impressive that I have such a lasting and amazing memory to the development that was only possible by this man, Jerry Lawson. So definitely look him up, and we can be these people. He went to Queens College, actually, in New York. So these are not people who are far removed from our own experiences. I know tons of people who go to Queens College. So it's just like, we can do these big things too.
Okay, cool. What was your favorite game?
Don't ask me that, but it was Spyro.
Hey, all right, that's a good game.
I liked Spyro as a kid. It was so awesome.
You checked it out. Okay. Okay, cool. So I want to give a shout out to the BX. Come out the BX, Miss Wanda M. Austin.
All right.
Okay, all right. She graduated from Bronx High School of Science. Okay, I couldn't get in and didn't score high enough, so that's how I know she's legit. Mm. Okay. She also got her degree from the University of Pittsburgh. Then she went on to get her PhD as well.
Mm, okay. She didn't stop.
She did not stop. She took her train all the way. I got off my bus on my train, but she took it all the way to the last stop, bro. Yeah, and she became a titan of industry in the field of aerospace as well. She's a former president and CEO of the Aerospace Corporation as well. And that's where she made a lot of big marks as well, starting from the bottom and after getting her doctorate as well.
Making it to the top.
Absolutely. So thank you for making our skies safer and better for everybody. And also taking another shatter through that glass ceiling. Miss Wanda M. Austin, shout out to you.
Shout out.
Yep.
I have a very special person as well. Kimberly Bryant.
Okay.
So she is an African-American electrical engineer, and she worked in biotechnology. She worked for Novartis, vaccines, diagnostics, and Merck, also Genentech. And then in 2011, she founded Black Girls Code.
Oh, that's her?
I know you've heard of Black Girls Code. At this point, I feel like most people have heard of this company, and she is the founder and CEO. And the company is a nonprofit organization dedicated to changing the face of technology by introducing girls of color, ages 7 to 17, to the field of technology and computer science, with a concentration on entrepreneurial concepts. So it's like you want to create something and build something using the skills that you've learned within that organization, but also to build wealth for yourself. Because that's what an entrepreneur is all about, right? You know? So I think that I really respect her, I would say, not only as a scientist and an owner and CEO of a company, but as a creative and a mind that's true to herself. She's very true to herself from what I can see. After she founded Black Girls Code, she was listed as one of the 25 most influential African Americans in technology by Business Insider. And in August 2017, it was reported that she was at least involved in the turning down of $125,000 from Uber because they felt like it was a bit insincere. It was disingenuous, that donation, because it was right after they were getting a lot of flack for like not being as protective of their female employees and female patrons.
My sister, she stopped using Uber
because of that?
I think indefinitely. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And she switched to the other one, which is whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, stand up for your principles.
Yeah, it was so like that kind of was a really big deal.
Yeah, you got, back then. Gotta stand up for your principles. So she ain't no sellout.
Okay? No, she's not.
So I have one too. That I really like this one. This girl is, she's kind of amazing. Miss May Carol Jemison. I don't know if you ever heard of her. Seven days, 22 hours, and 30 minutes. That's how long she spent in space.
What?
Have you been to space?
No.
No.
She's
been to space. Okay? She don't got it. She can tell you all about it. All
yeah.
Right? Born in Alabama, raised in Chicago. She went to Stanford University at the age of 16.
Whoa.
You know,
young.
She's doing dance recitals, plays. She got a degree in chemical engineering, which in my opinion is like one of the hardest.
Yeah, chemistry is no joke.
Engineering. I hate chemistry already. So to do chemical engineering, I only know one chemical engineering student in my school. The rest I didn't talk to because I just didn't want the smoke. So. But yeah, and she also majored in African American studies while she was there as well.
Stayed true.
After she graduated with her engineering degree, she's like, you know what? Now let me switch this up. Let me go to med school and get my medical degree as well. Yeah, so she's a
overachiever.
You know what I mean? Like, she's just bored. So yeah, so and then she got a her medical degree from Cornell University.
Wow.
Then she applied and went to NASA, which goes back to the space thing, you know? And so she just has a long and very impressive resume.
Yeah.
And one thing I do want to note is that she did apply to NASA, according to some of the sources that I looked through, because she was inspired by Sally Ride, which was the first American woman in space, and Guyon Bluford, hopefully I didn't butcher his name that badly, the first African-American man in space as well.
Yeah.
So I think that really just goes to show you that it's important to expose people to different things, right?
Yeah.
Then when you see it, then you can see it for yourself as well. It's easier to visualize it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So shout out to all the people that like put her in front of those type of things to make her think, yeah, she could definitely do it too, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think it's just really like inspiring to hear about all the people that we talked about. Like they did it.
Okay? Yeah, they did.
Like when you're in
They did it.
Right. When you're in that class, you think, yeah, how am I going to get out? They was in that same exact space, in the same exact class. And
they were the kid in the class that I'm like, hey, you want to start a study group?
Right, right. You know, so they're not any different. They're not any different from me. Anymore,
yeah.
You know, they just it just stuck with it. Mm-hmm. That's the only difference, you know. So So Miss Jemison, she inspires me so much more because she just seems so normal. You know, she doesn't seem like a genius or anything like that. I think I watched I read a couple of other stuff about her. She's just like a normal person, you know. I mean, she's just expressing herself. She's just really, really smart, and she really, really took an interest to all the subjects that she was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And it also inspired me to read more about her. And I found this book. It's called The Girl Who Could Dance in Outer Space. It tells the tale of young Mae Jemison, the creative girl who became a doctor, an engineer, a dancer, and an astronaut.
Wow. Mm.
Mae Jemison teaches us that art and science are natural expressions of creativity and imagination. For your young children, your little cousins, or if you have kids yourself, it's a great book. I think you can definitely check it out. Black women have definitely been outperforming their peers in a number of areas for a few years now, and I'm all for it. So if you're interested in that book, check it out with our link, www.audibletrial.com/blackhypothesis for a free 30-day trial.
I am definitely going to check that out. I love the idea of being true and respecting your creative identity as well as your practical and scientific interests.
Right, just bringing it with you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's bring it back now. Let's bring it back. What does God do with me? What does God do with what we're talking about? I don't know if we went too far off topic, but
I feel like we didn't. We're just in the right space. Mm-hmm. And I feel like just as we're talking about these people were inspired by others or they claim their space in their interests, they wanted to be those things or they really wanted to do something, create something, that passion can be, you know, developed and be cultured within our, you know, youth, within the people who want to change their careers or just learn more about engineering and be the kind of role model that others can see, like, look, I'm Black, I'm doing this, it's difficult, it's not easy, but you know, if you really want it, you can do it too. And so because of that, I really want to bring it back to some of the programs that allow us to become what we're thinking that we want to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you want to be an engineer, I'm sure there were programs that you looked up. There was an idea maybe in your mind as you were about to enter school that you were like, yeah, I think I want to major in engineering.
Mm-hmm.
Where how am I going to figure out what I want to do or what I need to do to become an engineer, right?
Right, right.
So as I was researching some of these programs, a few popped out. Or a few ideas popped out. And one would be the National Society of Black Engineers. So This organization has a lot of...
NSBE for short.
You know. Okay. They have a lot of programs that will introduce people to the career paths or the academics of becoming an engineer. What does it take? They also have scholarship programs. They also just have regular meetings. So if you're already an engineer and you want to be able to help or advise others, they have meetings in which you can definitely do that, become a part of the organization as a member.
Mm-hmm.
The second would be National Action Council for Minorities in Engineering. They also have a lot of programs that expose people to what they can do, how they can do it, where they can go for funding, for research, for enlightenment, even just for connectivity. If mm-hmm. you need to be, sometimes if you want to be something, you have to surround yourself with those who are experienced in that particular field.
Mm-hmm.
who can help you along and mentor you. So this is a good program to find those kind of connections, as well as, you know, like I talked about, the scholarships, and they connect with schools as well to for you to be able to still be a part of that program while you're going to school. Mm-hmm. Which brings me to my third point. There are university programs all over the country that are uniquely made to benefit minority students in STEM, specifically engineering as well. So wherever you go to school, wherever you decide to go to school, look out for these programs. Research it on their website. If you're going, my school is Rutgers. My alma mater is Rutgers.
Okay.
But at Rutgers, you have engineering programs specifically for minority students. They have tutoring there if you need a little bit of help. Because a lot of us, we're not coming from families where everybody's an engineer and all of that. So if you may want to speak with somebody or feel like you can talk about engineering so that, you know, you keep those things in your mind, but maybe you have fewer people to talk about engineering to. Mm-hmm. So this would be a great program to link up with friends, peers, tutors, mentors that are very interested and excited about engineering as well. So check those out.
Okay, cool, cool. Now I gotta shout my school out because I can't just have you saying Rutgers. I can't say anything. Okay, I want to give a shout out to Polytechnic University,
my alma mater,
now known as
NYU. NYU Tandon.
NYU Tandon School of Engineering.
Yeah,
right. So I'm just bringing it up. I did know a lot of people that was in Nesby. I was in Nesby for a couple of years as well. And
Didn't even know that. You see that?
Right. Yeah. So a couple other things that you do have access to. I think the most important thing, and you probably did touch on it, just the network of a whole bunch of all other Black students that are also studying engineering or just part of the organization throughout the country or throughout the region. Like, I think we were in the Northeast region or something like that. So we probably did know a lot of people from Rutgers as well. We probably see you guys at conferences and things like that. And at these conferences, there's a lot of companies that are there. They even have job fairs or career fairs. Career fairs for a lot of people there, and they're exclusively there in town just for the people that are in Nesby. You know what I mean? So you can definitely
they're looking for you.
You could definitely get exposure and leverage that as well to make sure that, you know, you're set up in a really good spot for college. I mean, after college. And I know a lot of people that did get a job through those career fairs as well.
So, good.
All right. So how can we sign up? All right. I think we gave a lot of good information. And I feel like the best way is to just get involved. And by getting involved, there's a lot of ways you can do it. So I'll leave that up to you. You can definitely donate to the Black Girls Code. I actually just looked it up on their website. They do take donations. So you can definitely do that and try to invest in the future of our kids. You can donate your time as well at maybe the local high school. You know, schools are virtual right now. Maybe you can find out a way you can help out with the science. Because I couldn't figure out. I don't know how they would do these science experiments. You can't do them at home. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're supposed to have a lab. You're supposed to have actual things you need to touch.
You're right.
Right. So there's there's things that are lacking right now that the kids are.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I doubt the parents are going to be I'll risk my kitchen blowing up just so that you can learn something.
Right. And chemistry can be kind of cool too, if that's your thing. It wasn't my cup of tea because I don't like the theory and the covalent bonds and all that bullshit. But, you know, I think it is important to make sure that everyone does get that type of experience. So try to be a part of it any way you can and try to enhance that experience for if you have kids of your own or other people. So, I think I want to wrap it up. You still owe me a Coke, but we're gonna circle back.
We're gonna talk about that.
All right, cool. Guys, thanks for joining us today, and we hope you liked the episode. You can find us on all available streaming platforms, and please be sure to subscribe to this podcast. If you like the episode, go ahead and give us 5 stars. You can also follow us at Black Hypothesis on IG. We are also on Facebook. If you would like to reach out to us concerning any ideas for the show, critiques, or you would like to be a guest, go on and send us an email at blackhypothesis@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. Peace.